नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय छपंदी ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Feel very happy? Chala Anandam. So the topic I'm supposed to speak on now is how to be happy. So there's the answer. Okay, lecture finished. Pravachanam Samaptam. So you just chant Hare Krishna, that's all. That's all you have to do, really. All we have to do is chant Hare Krishna and we will be happy. Unfortunately, people are not convinced about this. It's the most important question, is it not? How to be happy? What does everyone want? If we ask people, what do you want? What will they say? If we ask this man here, he may say, I want my sound system would work properly. We also want. If we ask people, what do you want? They may say, I want that I will be richer than Mukesh Ambani. Or someone may say, I want to marry the most beautiful woman in the world. Or someone may say, I want that my backache will be cured. You okay? You have to say the last line again because you got. No, we keep on losing. So what shall I? But ultimately, what do we all want? Everyone wants to be happy, isn't it? Mukesh Ambani is the richest man in India, I believe. Is he the happiest person in India? Unlikely. How can you say who is the happiest? What is the meaning of happiness? The great mistake is to equate pleasure with happiness. What is pleasure? What's the word? What word are you going to say in Telugu? In English, there's the word pleasure and the word happiness. But I don't know how you say in Telugu to make the distinction. Pleasure means a feeling. It means sukhanubhavam. Sukhanubhavam, we can say. No, it's manasik sukhanubhavam. We can say is pleasure. Pleasure, yeah. In the mind we feel sometimes there is sukhanubhavam and sometimes there is dukhanubhavam. Sometimes there is feeling of happiness, sometimes there is a feeling of distress. Pleasure or sukhanubhavam comes from maybe you can think eating ice cream. That may give some sensation of pleasure to the tongue. But if you get some very bad news which makes you feel very bad, then even if the best food is brought, your favorite food, you can't feel any pleasure in that. If you get news that someone, maybe your father or your wife or your child has died, and someone brings a very nice plate of food, you won't feel like taking it. You may feel so much sad that you don't eat for 1 day, 2 days, 3 days. Has anyone had that experience? Someone you love dies and then you don't feel like eating at all. Has anyone had that experience? Mostly. So, even if someone brings your favorite food, you can't get any happiness from it. And someone will come and say, come, you have to eat. You didn't eat for 2 days, you have to eat. So someone, they may bring some very tasty food. Maybe some samosa with some tamarind chutney, something like that. I think anyone, if they get hot samosa with tamarind chutney, they think it's very nice to eat. Huh? What do you think? But if we're feeling so much pain in our heart, then even someone forces us to eat, we do so with no enthusiasm and no pleasure. So happiness, So the sensation on the tongue of eating samosa with tamarind chutney is the same as before your loved one died. It's the same sensation, but you don't feel any pleasure. Before you felt pleasure, now you feel no pleasure. So the getting sense pleasure, That may give a sensation of happiness, but that's not soul happiness. That's not deep happiness. Now, just like if someone is feeling great distress, nothing can make them happy. It's like if a mother is told that her child has died, and then someone else comes and says, you won the lottery, you won 1 crore rupees. So they won't feel any happiness from gaining the 1 crore rupees because their child just died. On the other hand, someone who is completely self-satisfied in their heart, if they hear some bad news, they're not affected. If they hear some good news, they're not affected. If you tell them that someone wants to give you 1 crore of rupees, they'll say, all right. So the point is that actual happiness does not come from anything external. Actual happiness is not manasik suk. It is atma suk. Now you may say, well then chanting Hare Krishna, that's also external. So I was saying chant Hare Krishna and then you'll be happy. So you may think, well that's also something external. No, this is adhyatmik, this is spiritual. It's a sound. There are so many sounds. We could sing some cinema song. There may be some popular Telugu song. And that may make us feel happy, but only at the mental level. Today, as you know, is Independence Day. So people may be singing Jai Hind. What's the national anthem? What is it? Jaga? Jaga Gara Mara? Someone may be singing the national anthem. And they may feel, yes, I'm proud to be Indian. Gar se kaho hum Bharatiya hai. But in Pakistan, it's also Independence Day, I guess. Is it? It must be, I suppose. Was it yesterday? They got independence the day earlier? Okay. So if you sing the Indian national anthem in Pakistan, they won't be happy. Because someone's body is born in India, they think, I am Indian. Someone is born in Pakistan, they think, I am Pakistan. Someone who's born in India in this life can be born in Pakistan in the next life, and vice versa. So someone born in India might take pleasure thinking, I am Indian. But such thinking is only connected to the body. And in the next life, someone will, depending on the country you're born in, you'll think, I'm Pakistani, or I'm American, or I'm Russian, or whatever. Or one may be born as a cat or a dog. One may be born as a cow in Telangana and slaughtered in the Hyderabad slaughterhouse. These are all material positions. But Hare Krishna is a spiritual sound. The name of Krishna is Krishna. You all know that today is Krishna Janmashtami. That's why this program is arranged here. Why are we celebrating Janmashtami? We don't have a big celebration for anyone's birthday, anyone here. Your birthday you may celebrate with your family members. But Krishna, he appeared 5,000 years ago. I don't think anyone's going to remember you or me after 5,000 years. Why is it that after 5,000 years we're still remembering Krishna's birth? What's so special about Krishna? See, in India they celebrate Mahatma Gandhi's birthday, Dr. Ambedkar's birthday. They're great people. But they're considered great in India only. Oh, Mahatma Gandhi is known in other countries. Dr. Ambedkar, not at all. But they don't celebrate Gandhi's birthday any other country than India. And in course of time, Mahatma Gandhi will also be forgotten. In fact, even today, his birthday celebration goes on as some kind of ritual. No one really cares about it very much. But Krishna's birthday is celebrated with great enthusiasm. Why is that? Mahatma Gandhi's birthday is celebrated because he's a great person, but already it's no one cares very much. But Krishna's birthday is observed with great enthusiasm. It means Krishna is a much greater person. He's the greatest person. Because he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's the most important person. Mahatma Gandhi is famous because he helped India to get political independence. But Krishna, he gives independence, mukti, from birth and death. So that India got political independence from Britain, that is nothing compared to Krishna giving independence from birth and death. This nation was under so many rulers even prior to the British. And in course of time, it's inevitable that the country that is known as India now, it will be under some different political organization. So this political independence, it's not a very important thing, actually. But getting free from birth and death, that is the most important thing for every Atma. Now, Krishna gives that, therefore his birth is important. And another major reason why Krishna's birth is important is because he himself is free from birth and death. So I may say that if Krishna is free from birth and death, then why are we celebrating his birthday? That means he took birth. Krishna himself explains in Bhagavad Gita, Ajopi sanavyayatma bhutanam ishvaropi san prakritim swamadhishtaya sambhavami atma mayaya. Krishna says, Aja, I am unborn. And I am avyaya atma, it means I don't die. I am the controller of all living beings. But I come into this material energy. This material energy means the energy within which there is birth and death. Krishna says, I enter within this energy by my own desire. So that is the difference between Krishna's so-called birth and our so-called birth. Our birth in this world, that is illusory. Because we are not this body. This body is temporary. But we are eternal, Atma. So our birth is not actually real in the full sense of the term. But we are born according to our previous activities, our previous karma. If I acted piously in a previous life, I will be born in a rich family, good looking, and so on. If someone is very sinful, they take birth among the animals and the plants. And when they get a human birth, it's in a very low position. But Krishna's birth is not like that. Krishna does not take birth according to karma. He is beyond the laws of karma. He appears to take birth, but he doesn't take birth like us. He comes into this world to deliver us from birth and death.
ఆయన ఈ యొక్క ప్రపంచంలోకి మనల్ని జన్మ మృత్యువు నుంచి బయటపడడానికే ఇక్కడికి వస్తున్నాడు.
సో హిస్ బర్త్ ఇన్ దిస్ వరల్డ్ ఇస్ అవుట్ ఆఫ్ హిస్ గ్రేట్ మర్సీ.
ఆయన యొక్క జన్మ మన ఎందు ఆయన కృప.
Just to save us from the suffering of this material existence. By bhakti to Krishna, by pure devotion to Krishna, we'll be freed from birth and death. Then we can experience spiritual happiness. In this material world, there is sensual and mental happiness. Sensual happiness means the happiness of eating an ice cream. Or sexual happiness. Mental happiness is something like you have some difficult mathematics problem and then you solve it and you think, oh, then you feel very satisfied. So this is not the happiness of the soul. The happiness of the soul is happiness in relationship to Krishna. Krishna is the supreme happy. How is Krishna happy? Krishna is happy in loving his devotees. Krishna is very famous for dancing with gopis. Sometimes people say Krishna is immoral. But they don't understand that Krishna's dancing with the gopis is fully spiritual. That means in this material world, young boys and girls like to mix with each other. And that can be done in a moral way or an immoral way. The moral way for men and women to mix is to be married. The immoral way is not to be married and they're still mixing up. That is considered very bad. Nowadays in modern India, it's been sanctioned by the government. What is that called? Live-in relationship. It's according to the government, it's okay. But it is immoral. Now, Krishna, he dances with the gopis who superficially appear to be others' wives. But that is not immoral. How is it not immoral? Because that the gopis are others' wives is only an illusion of Maya. Actually, they are all great pure devotees of Krishna. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Krishna dancing with the gopis, that is an activity, an exchange of pure love. Krishna is not under the laws of material nature. He is not subject to birth and death. So Krishna, when he dances with the gopis, that is an exchange of pure, spiritual, loving bliss. Krishna is always happy. That happiness we can share in. By serving Krishna, we also become happy. By chanting Krishna's names, we become happy. That is spiritual happiness. Spiritual happiness means that it is nothing to do with the sensual, mental, or intellectual pleasure of this world. But it is a fact that by chanting Hare Krishna, we immediately experience happiness. And if we go on chanting, then we'll feel more and more happy. This is not the happiness of the material world. Because the Hare Krishna mantra is not a material sound. Now, we can chant a material sound on and on, but eventually we'll become bored. If we think, I like to eat samosas, and we chant, samosa, samosa, then we don't feel any happiness. We have to eat a samosa to feel happy. Not just by saying samosa, samosa, we'll be happy. But even if we eat samosa, very nice. Does someone say, you want another one? Oh, yeah, give me another one. Then another one? Oh, yeah, another one. Then four, five, six. Six. Another one? Okay, one more. Then another one? Then we're forced. Now you must eat another one. 10, 11, no more samosa. No more samosa. So what seems to give us pleasure in the beginning, as we go on more and more, it'll give us displeasure. But chanting Hare Krishna is not like that. Anything material, after some time, what gives us pleasure, we get fed up. But chanting Hare Krishna, the more we do it, the more we become purified, the more pleasure we take in that. All over the world is being promoted Coca-Cola. You can go practically any country in the world and you can get Coca-Cola. You may say, why am I talking about Coca-Cola? We're talking about Krishna, then we're talking about Coca-Cola. Why am I talking about Coca-Cola? Just to give some contrast. Because we're saying that by chanting Hare Krishna, you will get great happiness. And how is Coca-Cola being sold all over the world? Because they advertise that by Coca-Cola you will become happy. Is it not? Drink Coca-Cola, you will be happy. They make an advertisement like that. So what happiness is in Coca-Cola? It's some water with some chemicals and bubbles and sugar. Where's the happiness? But they advertise, oh, drink Coca-Cola, then you'll be happy. Then people buy it and they think, oh, I must be happy. In the advertisement, they said I'd be happy. But there's no happiness there. You go on drinking Coca-Cola, your stomach will burst, you'll die. That happened recently, wasn't it, in Delhi? They had a Coca-Cola drinking competition and someone drank 19 Coca-Colas and he dropped down dead. So anything material, it gives some pleasure in the beginning, but then after some time, no pleasure. That is described in Bhagavad Gita. Vishayendriya samyogam yathad agre mitopamam pariname vishamiva tatsukam raja samsmitam. This is called happiness in the mode of passion, rajasik sukam. What does it come about? Vishayendriya samyogam, the interaction of the senses with the sense objects. In the beginning it seems like nectar, amritam. But after some time it becomes just like poison. So all material happiness is like that. Just like someone may think, oh, I'll get married, I'll be very happy. So you have a very happy wedding. But then you have to go out and work hard every day and there are so many headaches, how to pay the bills, so many problems. There's happiness in the mode of goodness. Sattvika sukha. Yattad agre vishamiva. Pariname mritopamam. Yat sukham. Sattvikam proktam. Atma. What is that? Atma bhava subhavajam. That in the beginning it seems like poison. But in the end it seems like nectar. That happiness is in the mode of goodness. For instance, one may perform great tapasya, which is may seem like poison, but in the end one gets some spiritual realization. That gives Atma Buddhi Prasadajam, that gives knowledge of the self and sense of pleasure. But chanting Hare Krishna is even better than that. In the beginning it's nectar and it goes on becoming more and more nectar. Generally for spiritual life, people they'll go away and meditate and do some severe austerities. But in Krishna bhakti, there's no need to perform severe austerities. When we chant Hare Krishna, we automatically link with Krishna. who is the reservoir of all spiritual pleasure. So there's no need for any kind of distress in Krishna consciousness. Automatically we come to the spiritual platform. So that's why if we want to be happy, we have to link with Krishna. Why should we not be happy? Everyone wants to be happy. It's obvious, isn't it? Everyone wants to be happy. Does anyone disagree with that statement? Does anyone want to be unhappy? Anyone? Any volunteers? Anyone want to be unhappy? We'll come and hit you on the head with a hammer. Anyone? Any volunteer? Can ask? No one wants to be unhappy. Everyone wants to be happy. Then why do we have a talk called How to Be Happy? Why are we not happy? We don't know how to be happy. Why do we want to be happy? Because by nature we are happy. Our nature is Satchit Anandamay. By nature as Atma, we are eternal, full of bliss and full of happiness. Nitai Nimai? You can take these boys and give them a little rest. This material, the spiritual existence means eternal, full of bliss, anandam, and full of spiritual realization, spiritual knowledge. But this material existence is asat, achit, nirananda. This material existence means there is always birth and death. We don't have spiritual knowledge. And there is so much suffering in this world. Therefore, we don't feel happy. We can be happy by coming to the spiritual position of Satchit Ananda. Krishna is full and complete, Purna Satchidananda. Krishna is always happy. So we can become happy by linking with Krishna. By the process of Bhakti Yoga. Anartho Pashamam Sakshat Bhakti Yoga Madhokshajay Lokasya Janato Vidvans Chakra Sadvata Sanghitam. This material world is all anartha. Anartha means meaningless. We are in the position of meaninglessness. We are trying to be happy with things that cannot make us happy. We can immediately become free from all this illusion and meaninglessness by linking with Krishna, serving Krishna by Bhakti Yoga. Because Krishna is fully spiritual. Krishna is fully on the platform of Satchit Ananda. But people don't know this. Therefore, Vyasadeva has given the Srimad Bhagavatam to teach us this. So, in short, we can be happy by being Krishna conscious. By chanting Hare Krishna, we immediately link with Krishna. If we make our life Krishna conscious, then we'll always be happy. Because we'll always be linked with Krishna. Because we'll always be linked with Krishna. So how to be happy? Be Krishna conscious. Think of Krishna always. You may think, well, I'm living in a big city. Materialistic city. How much is the population of twin cities? Must be more than 1 crore now, huh? Is it? 1.5 crore? It came to so much, huh? So it's a big, big city and very materialistic. So how can we think of Krishna in this situation? Well, there is a process where even living in our home, doing some work or some business, we can remember Krishna. We can perform bhakti yoga in our home by chanting the names of Krishna daily at home, by associating with devotees of Krishna, by worshipping Krishna at home, by offering all our food to Krishna, so that we take, our only food is Krishna prasadam. In this way our life becomes Krishna-ized. So the Mahatma Gandhi and others, they wanted the independence of India. And they presented it as a spiritual struggle. So that the people of India, they can follow their original spiritual culture. But politically free India is now more Western than at any time and becoming more so all the time. So the real function of Independence Day will be fulfilled when the people of India, they revive their original spiritual culture. That spiritual culture is based on the teachings of Bhagavad Gita. So that Bhagavad Gita was spoken by Krishna, who appeared on this day, Janmashtami. So everyone should understand the teachings of Bhagavad Gita as it is. This Krishna conscious movement is spreading all over the world on the basis of Bhagavad Gita as it is. That's another proof that Krishna is completely spiritual. The teachings of Bhagavad Gita are completely spiritual. Why should people in England and America and Russia and China and so many countries be interested in the teachings of Bhagavad Gita? They're interested because it's completely spiritual teaching. It's not an Indian teaching or a Hindu teaching. It's a teaching directed to every one of us, to every living being. We're all suffering in this material world because we don't recognize that I am Atma. We don't recognize our eternal position of service to Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we will become fully happy if we follow the teachings of Bhagavad Gita as it is. So how can we be happy? In short, the answer is very easy. Chant Hare Krishna. So now we'll have a practical demonstration. Everyone raise your hands. Take a deep breath. Dirgha Swasam. And say very loudly, Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna! Krishna Krishna! Hare Hare! Hare Rama! Hare Rama! Rama Rama! Hare Hare! So now you have to chant again more loudly from the depth of your heart. Hands up again. Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna! Krishna Krishna! Hare Hare! Hare Rama! Hare Rama! Rama Rama! Hare Hare! So, how do you feel? You feel very happy, I hope. Chala Anandam. So always be happy by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. That's all we want to say, really. This mission is preaching all over the world. Really, all we want to tell people is chant Hare Krishna and be happy. That's all. Very, very simple message. Very simple and very effective. So you can do every day in your home. We have the Japa Mala. We're chanting every day Hare Krishna mantra on beads. Hundred and 108 beads on one mala. So we chant on the mala Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Nam Japam. So we chant minimum 16 malas every day. You can do in your home also. Maybe in the beginning you're not practiced to chant 16 malas. You can chant at least one mala every day. Would everyone like to do that? You can chant at home. I think. How many of you are chanting at least one round of Hare Krishna mantra every day? Please put up your hand. If I had 16 hands, I'd put up 16, but okay. So, those of you who are not doing it, can you do it? You like to do it? Put up your hand. Easy thing to do. You chant every day, 108 times. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. What will you get from that? we're not promising you any material happiness. We don't say that by chanting Hare Krishna you'll get more money. We don't say that by chanting Hare Krishna that all your health problems will be solved. We don't say that by chanting Hare Krishna your children will come top of the class. We don't promise anything material. But we promise that by chanting Hare Krishna with faith and love, that you will get spiritual happiness of the soul.